Prime Minister, thank you very much indeed for that excellent presentation, may I say. I wonder if I may be permitted to start with a question. I thought many parts of your speech go to the very heart of our discussions today. For any country, for Greece in particular, to reform, to adapt, to be a full member of the European Union and the Eurozone, there's a question of political will and there's a question of political capability to do so. I took your support in the second half of your speech for a common taxation policy, a special tax which would give the Eurozone increased budget of its own, a budget which would be used, presumably, to promote policies, priorities across the Eurozone in terms of economic adaptation. I took that to reflect a logic of giving incentives to countries to reform, countries that might otherwise perhaps have a problem of the political will to reform or a problem of the political capability to reform. Is one of your assumptions of the argument here that the Eurozone should have a special budget to promote necessary reform in those countries that need it most, is one of the assumptions that Greece in its present situation by itself is unlikely to reform adequately without a Eurozone, European constraints, stimulus, incentive, intervention, that Greece left to its own devices in the immediate period is unlikely to have the will and perhaps the capability to reform, and therefore it needs leverage, it needs a stimulus from the Eurozone to make sure that it does.
Kevin, I thank you very much for the question, but this is a speech, I should call it a speech about these problems.
Yes.
So I try to be to explain my position. The first, I want to say that, as I said, there are about 100 propositions of what is to be done in the European Union. And one of these propositions, the more radical, was made by Mr. Professor Piketty, if many of us have heard of him. He's a well-known professor of economics in France, and more to the left, I would say.
And a professor of economics at the LSE now.
No, all right. That's, so he has was the first one to suggest that there should be a tax reform in the European Union, and there should be a tax on companies. And this, I would say, is nearly accepted by all proposals, because nearly all proposals say that there is a difference between the north and the south of the European Union, and we must overcome these differences. And that's the first point. And the second point, we should have more growth in the Union. And how should can we have more growth? One proposition is that there could be, with this new tax, the European Union could take initiatives in building roads or reforming markets and having new universities and so on, in order that there is growth in the whole of the Union. And of course, there should be, I would say now, a help, a financing of the South. There is a discussion. Will this money be given to the countries of the South as a loan, and they could do everything, And the majority of the opinions is that this is not should not be done, because the argument is then we will have a northern Italy and a southern Italy. Southern Italy got a lot of money and there was no progress there. So we should not repeat this, and the money should be given for special initiatives or to companies that invest and so on. So, in my opinion, it's necessary, the tax is necessary, it is should be done, and may I also bring an example for what's happening now. What, you know, all of us say that the northern countries and Germany have a surplus in their trade balances. Mm. And this surplus sometimes reaches even 6 or 7% in Germany. And in the countries of the south, Greece, for example, that there is a negative balance of sometimes 8 or 10%, not now, but before. Mm. Because now there are no more imports in Greece, no more, but very few. People have not the money to buy. So, the idea is that there should, the idea that the Commission has, there should an upper level of gains from exports in the balance of exports, and this should not exceed 4%. So that when you hear this, you say it's very nice what has been done, and there had been several decisions taken, and now there is a benchmark of 4% that must be applied. But nobody knows how it must be applied, and it has never been applied. So that's the point. They take decisions, and there is no result on these decisions. So this must change, and I think also it must change in order to change this relation between North and South.
Thank you for that. We have a few minutes for comments, questions, etc. Can I invite Crispus Reed? Is there a microphone? There is a microphone coming to you.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm Crispus Pissarides, professor at the LSE. For something like what you said to be applied, it has to be acceptable to Germany, because Germany would be paying most of the money. And 2 years ago, I was at the World Economic Forum meetings in Davos, and there was a panel that George Soros and Wolfgang Schäuble, and Soros said very much what you just said. He said Germany should use its surpluses to boost up the economies of the South. There should be taxation in Europe across, and the money should be used for infrastructure projects. And you could see that Schäuble got visibly angry. He banged his hand on the table like that, and he said to him, "I know what Germany needs much better than you do, and this will never happen." He became red in the face, and he said to him, "Stick with monetary speculation and leave fiscal policy alone in my hands." Now, if we accept that, we have to accept that what you just said will never happen. Europe needs a sea change. You know, it needs, I don't know, some invasion from Russia or something to make them work together like that. Given that it will not happen, what else do you suggest that we do? Because, like you say, there are 100 proposals. We could talk, idealistic, have a nice lunch afterwards, and then everyone will ignore us.
So, in my opinion, that never happened. We said Mr. Schäuble believes it, but situation changes and opinion changes. I will bring an example that is quite different from Mr. Schäuble, but in any case, I can't remember exactly when, Mr. Schröder was the Prime Minister of Germany. It was 2002, 2003. And when he became Prime Minister of Germany, I had a long discussion with him. He was very friendly and was always very friendly with Greeks and ready to help. But he said to me, I'm not interested in Europe. And I want to do something for Germany, and I have to look at German problems and not at the problems of Europe. So, in a sense, Mr. Schröder, when he began, was different from Schäuble, but this was the German mentality. One side is Schäuble, who is very strict, and Schröder, who was different and became a bit different, but also he had in his ideas, he was for a German project for Europe. And then he changed quite a lot. Why did he change? It's peculiar to say, but we were together because Germany and Greece were sitting the one near the other. And we went to the United States for the 50 years of the NATO, or the 60 years, and there was a big feast there, and all the European countries were sitting there, and there was music being played, and very loud music, and we were sitting for a quarter of an hour there expecting Mr. Clinton to come and greet us. And during this quarter of an hour, I said to Schröder, you see, you have to wait, and you should do something so that Europe does not wait. And he said, indeed, and then he began to change. Because then Clinton arrived and the music was playing and everybody greeted Clinton and everything was forgotten. It was only the United States and NATO and Germany, nowhere. Greece, of course, nowhere, but... I'll bring another example. When the Prodi was president of the Commission, and Prodi's term ended, and Schröder was interested to find a new president. So in order to find the new president, he spoke with the Blair, and they told me the new president must be Mr. Barroso. Because why did Blair want Mr. Barroso to become new? Because Mr. Barroso, if you remember, when the Iraq intervention began, had a meeting with the United States, Great Britain, Spain and Portugal in the Azores about the Iraq intervention. And when this meeting finished, they said, Barroso, and I don't remember if it was who was Prime Minister, they said that Europe agrees with it. And I was then presiding the Council, because Greece was presiding the Council, and I said, it's not possible. We must have also the European Council a meeting about the Iraq situation. We had this meeting, though the British were against it and the United States protested. And there was a general declaration that we should try for peace and so on and so on. Then Schröder calls Mr. Chirac and says to Mr. Chirac, Blair wants Barroso. And Chirac says to him, this has been said to me from Schröder. Chirac tells him, try somebody German, try a German, not to have Barroso. And Schröder phones to Mrs. Merkel. Mrs. Merkel was not then prime minister, it was Schröder. But Merkel said, I will not win the next election, so Mrs. Merkel must have an opinion. And Mrs. Merkel says to him, I'm not interested who will be president of the commission. If the British wants Mr. Barroso, perhaps we could try a German, if you find one, Schröder. And Schröder, because he was socialist, and he thought in the new elections the Christ Democrats win, phoned to Mr. Seehofer. You know Mr. Seehofer was the prime minister of Bavaria. Mr. Seehofer tells to him, I must think over it. And then after near a month, Chirac calls Schröder and tells him, what's going on? Did you find the German? And Schröder calls Seehofer. Seehofer says, no, we will win the next election. I will prefer to be the prime minister of Bayern than the chief of the commission. And so they phoned to Blair and said Barroso will be president of the commission. You see, situation change. I cannot be sure, and no one is sure that the opinions of Mr. Schäuble will be the opinions that will prevail. But I have discussed also with Mr. Steiner quite many times, and he's quite different than Mr. Schäuble. And I think Germans will understand that alone they cannot do it. They cannot do it alone.
That's an optimistic note, I think, to pause. I think if we have more discussion, we might lose the optimism. Mr. Prime Minister, if you forgive me, if we could thank you and move on to the next session of the conference. But please join me in thanking Prime Minister Costa.